to this podcast from Adelaide Place Baptist Church. We are a community of disciples, apprentices of Jesus, who live and work in the city of Glasgow, and it's our vision to join God in the renewal of all things. Our discipleship to Jesus is for all of our lives, so as well as listening to this podcast, we'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning or get involved in one of our missional communities, which are across the city throughout the week. Our prayer is that you encounter Jesus in some way through this podcast. More information can be found at apbc.net.
Hi there, my name's Glenn Innes. I'm the pastor at Portobello Baptist Church. It's my joy to get to share something of the good news of Jesus with you today as part of this, I guess we could call it a project, where we have a number of churches over the summer sharing sermons from different places around the country. And I'm excited for my own church to hear from others, and I'm really excited to be able to share with you. I don't know how you guys have got on in lockdown, but I know that for us it has been a very strange experience. And it started with lots of adrenaline and rushing about and trying to figure out how we could take what we did as a church online. And then we began to calm down and we got into a bit of a rhythm and a pattern of being, which we have been in for the last, I guess, 14 or 15 weeks. And that's been okay. I'll be honest, I miss gathering with the people of God. I miss singing together. I miss all of those things. But I'm very grateful that we have these opportunities to gather in the different ways that we do now. And I'm particularly grateful that technology allows us to do things like this. It allows me to be with you, and it will allow other pastors to be able to share with my congregation. It's a great benefit of technology. So yeah, we're grateful for that. I wonder though how you personally have experienced lockdown. What has it been like for you? Have you been one of the people who have found this to be a great chance to slow down and to rest a little and to think about the pace of life and why is it that we run 1,000 miles an hour normally and actually this slower pace has been good for you? Or perhaps you're at the other end of that spectrum and you find yourself in lockdown absolutely crazy busy. Maybe you're working from home and you've got all your kids around you. Maybe you're a frontline worker and it's been high pressure and high stress for many months. Or you're somewhere in the middle. And I think the reality is that in the midst of all of that, two questions have become apparent that people are asking. And they're asking these questions. What is the purpose in my life? And what is the meaning of all of this? And those two questions have come to me from friends and colleagues as we've spoken together, but also from those who are both in and outside the church, just asking these questions. A moment like this will hopefully never come again in our lifetimes. And people are pausing to ask these bigger questions. And they're asking me, is there a Christian perspective on this? Is there something Christian we can say to this? And you'll not be surprised that my answer is yes, there is. And it's that I would like us to look at today. This question, what is our purpose? What is the meaning of our lives? I'd love us to read together in Luke chapter 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is a really well-known story, and it's often one that we might teach to kids or learn in Sunday school, that kind of thing. But I'm convinced that there's some stuff in here that really helps us answer these questions about what is our purpose? How do we find meaning in life? And I just have three short points, hopefully short anyway, that I want to help us today with. And the first is this: Jesus meets us where we're at. I hope you notice that Jesus, when he encounters Peter, or Simon as he's called in this text, but he will soon be renamed by Jesus Peter, and we probably know him better as Peter. When Jesus encounters him, he's not in some holy place. He's not in a place of great beauty and grandeur. He hasn't gone to a temple. He hasn't gone to the big massive church on the corner. He's not kneeling down in prayer. He's just doing his regular day's work. And Jesus shows up and meets him. And it's there for you and I that's also true. When Jesus is seeking after us, he doesn't come and find us in places that are holy often. He meets us in the regular, mundane ways of our lives. He meets us when we're looking after the kids. He meets us when we're out doing the shopping. He meets us when we're in our workplace. He meets us when we're on our endless number of Zoom calls. He meets us in these places just as much as he might meet you in a church gathering. And why is that important? Because I want to tell you that it's important because it's not just about us meeting Jesus. I want you to recognize that Jesus sought out Simon Peter. He sought him out. He went after him. He chose his boat to get into. Jesus is surrounded by all these people. They want to hear what it is that he has to say. And then we get this opportunity where Jesus says, well, let's go out on this boat, out a little. And he creates some space. And it's a space for him and Peter alone. They meet together in relationship. They meet together away from all the crowds before Jesus starts to address them. It becomes important that you and I recognize that just like with Simon Peter, Jesus is seeking us individually too. It's not that we just go looking for him. It's not just that we might accidentally bump into him as we're going down the street. Jesus is actively pursuing you and I. And he's pursuing us in these ordinary, mundane places. Not in the holy spaces always, but in the mundane spaces, just in the way we go about our life. So the first point, Jesus meets us where we're at. Our second point is this: Jesus is after your heart. I wonder if you noticed in the story that this relationship between Simon Peter and Jesus doesn't begin with some deep and meaningful relationship. It begins from an entirely functional point of view. Jesus has need of a boat and he gets Simon Peter's boat. Simon Peter has a boat and he offers it to this passing rabbi. It's an entirely functional relationship. And I wonder how many of us might recognize our relationship to God in that same way. That in some ways, our relationship is based on either what God can do for me or maybe what I can do for God. Is that where it ends? Is that at all? Is that the purpose, that God can do stuff for me and I can do stuff for God and we've got this transactional relationship? Well, in this story, and I want to suggest in the Christian life, it's much more than that. You see, Simon Peter, after Jesus is done talking, Jesus tells them to go out and to fish in the deep water. Now, this interaction has loads about it because Jesus is saying to somebody who is a fisherman, who knows about fishing, how to go and fish. Now, Simon says, we've been out all night. We've been out all night. That's when you fish. You fish at night, Jesus. Did you not know that? No, you're a carpenter. You don't know about fishing. But they decide they'll go out and fish anyway. They put the nets down and they get this huge catch of fish, so big they need their partners to come and help them with it. Why does that matter? Well, because in that moment, Peter has a bunch of options of how he can respond. The first is, he could say, out of pride, well, you're a carpenter, not a fisherman, dumb luck, just nice to hear you teaching, but we're done. Or he might have said something more along the lines of, you freak, what are you doing? Oh, that's weird, get away from me. But he didn't do either of those two things. Instead, Peter says, get away from me, Lord, for I am a sinner. He suddenly recognizes something of the beauty of what Jesus has done and who he is. And it's fearsome and awesome to see that. And that's why he falls down on his knees. Now, for us, what is it? How much of Jesus' beauty do we need to see? I want to suggest that that is the goal, because it is that that will capture our hearts and move us far beyond some functional relationship with a God who says, I can do this for you, will you do this for me? To a relationship where we are captivated by the beauty of Jesus, captivated by the power of God at work in Jesus, and actually our hearts come alive. And here's the thing, I want to absolutely tell you, God is more interested in your heart. This is what Jesus is seeking, not the external stuff. He's not after your job. He's not after the money in your bank account. He's not after your Instagram followers or your Facebook friends. He's not after any of that stuff. He's after your heart. The first thing we saw in this text, Jesus is seeking us exactly where we are at. Second thing, he's after our hearts, not anything else. My third point is this. Jesus gives purpose. Jesus gave purpose to Simon Peter, and he continues to give us purpose today. This is the answer, I think, to the question I posed at the beginning. What is the purpose in all of this? What is our meaning of life? How are we supposed to live? Particularly as we are asking those questions just now on the back of this global pandemic. Jesus encountered Peter, he captivated his heart, and he gave him a purpose. Well, what was that purpose? Well, he says to Simon Peter, I will make you to be a fisher of people. Now, I don't know if that's capturing you right now and you're like, oh, great, I want to be a fisher of people. Or if maybe like me, you're kind of like, I don't really know what he means by that. What do you mean by that? Well, let me try and explain a couple of things that hopefully will help us see that Jesus has purpose for you and for me as we go about living our lives captivated by Jesus. Jesus took a fisherman and said to him, I will make you a fisher of people. What might he say to you and to me? Well, what's in your hand? What is it that you're already doing? What is it that God has already put in your life? Or what is it that you've already experienced that he can use for the purposes of his kingdom? Now, you might be sitting there saying, well, look, Glenn, I am not a well-educated person. I don't know these big words. I don't really know how to explain a lot of this. How could God use me? Let me tell you a little about Peter. Peter was a fisherman. First century fishermen tended not to be educated, which meant that they simply had to do with whatever they had learned, usually something from their father or their wider family, where they learned a skill and whatever they had, they used. That's probably how Peter became a fisherman. Can you recognize that? Maybe see yourself in him? And that's not to put Peter down, because let's be honest, what does God do when he takes hold of Peter? He becomes the guy who preaches the first sermon on Pentecost. He becomes the key leader of the church. Education or not is not a barrier to God. He will use you and whatever you have in your hand. Or maybe you're at the other end of the spectrum. Maybe you're powerful, You're high up in business. Maybe you own your own business. Maybe you run an organization. And you're sitting here saying, I don't know about this fisher of people thing. Well, what about if I describe Peter to you another way? A business owner. One who worked in partnership with others. Who had to look after an organization of the nets of his boat, of the assets of his business, who was so organized that it meant that he could catch fish and sell fish. Does that sound more like someone you recognize? See, Peter is both the uneducated Galilean fisherman and the businessman. And God takes all of that and uses it, and his character and his personality, which I certainly resonate with as someone who talks too much, as someone who is often speaking before they're thinking. And God works in his life in such a way that when he is at his very lowest, he's lifted back up. So Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus restored Peter 3 times. Then we see Peter getting to preach this first sermon on Pentecost, and 3,000 people get saved on that day. We see Peter begin to become the leader, one of the key leaders in the early church. And then he becomes a missionary to the Jews all over the known world. This is who Peter is when God has given him purpose. And so what might it look like for you to have purpose? Maybe you work in a shop and you're wondering, what would it look like to be a fisher of people there? What if you became a greeter of people? You see, one of the biggest problems we had in our society before COVID-19 came along was that there was a huge problem with loneliness. People don't see one another, they don't talk to one another. Maybe if you work in a shop, you're the only person that person sees in the day. Could you speak a kind word? Could you greet them with a smile and bring life? And that would bring you purpose. You would be serving God and his kingdom in this city or wherever you happen to be. Maybe you're a teacher and you're saying, I'm not a fisher of people. That wouldn't be appropriate. No, but could you be a teacher of children? We know that God loves children. That could be purpose for you. Maybe you run a business. Maybe it becomes important to you to think about the climate impact of your organization, because God has made this good world for us to steward and take care of. And so in that, you discover that there is purpose in serving God, this Jesus who has captivated your heart. Whatever you do, I promise you there are ways that God wants to take whatever is in your hand and use for his kingdom, just exactly the same way that he took Peter and said, I am going to take what is in your hand, being a fisherman, and being willing to then use that in another context. But I want to finish with this. What was the conclusion of that little passage? I don't know if you remember, but it says they left everything and followed him. That's the nature of what happens when Jesus so captivates your heart. It's not just about finding purpose. It's that life now has a completely different meaning. The boats, the nets, the fish, they were now secondary because Jesus was primary. And following him became all that they were about. I wonder today, I don't know who's watching this. Maybe you have never said, I want to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never said yes to the Jesus that is seeking after you. And I want to encourage you today, wherever you are, wherever you're watching this, to say yes to Jesus. He is seeking you out. Whatever is going on in your life, he is seeking you out exactly where you are at. He's not after the external things in your life. He's after your heart. And he wants to give you purpose. I'd encourage you today, give your yes to Jesus, the one who is calling out to you. And if you do that, if you, as you're sitting there, just want to pray and say, Jesus, I want to follow you, then please take the time to let someone know. Email someone in the church, email a friend, whoever it was that sent you the link to this. Let them know that that's for you, that you want to follow Jesus, and they'd be delighted to help you out with that. For those of us who maybe have followed Jesus for a long time, I want to ask you this. Does Jesus have your heart? Is he really the one that you're captivated by? Is he the one who is instructing your purpose in life? Is he the one that brings meaning to you? I want you to hear this morning or this afternoon or whenever you're listening to this, an invitation to come back to Jesus, to encounter something afresh of his love, of his power, of his beauty. And know that he has still today is pursuing you, that he still wants your heart, and that he desires to give you purpose.